Hi, this is Danielle, and you've clicked play on Earwolf Presents. Welcome. Each week, you'll either hear a special episode from an existing Earwolf podcast or something completely original and brand new. Today, our show, Bitch Sesh, where my co-host Casey and I unpack the latest episodes from Real Housewives on Bravo, any of the series. In this episode, we talk to Vanessa Baher, who's hilarious, and it has some amazing impressions of the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. It's incredible. We were also humbled by the moving response to Casey's Fish Spongies' devastating, sudden passing, violent passing, and read moving letters from listeners detailing the deaths of their own beloved betta fish. So it's quite an episode. We really get into some stuff. And for more on what happened to Casey's fish, check out episode 217 with Jarrett Weisselman. Enjoy it, guys.
Hi, Danielle.
Good morning, Casey.
How are you?
I'm feeling fine. You know why?
Why?
Because I'm no longer in Studio City.
What? Oh, Danielle. To see you in a new place in the Zoom, I even feel more light. First of all, this is what I'm seeing is a better energy. Tell everyone what's happened.
I'm feeling a better energy.
Danielle, I'm serious. And all I see is a treadmill in the background.
Look, not everything's not in its place. So,
but I love it.
But I will say, you've shamed me. I've moved.
Yes.
You shamed me time and time again. And all of that shame brought about lightness, which is strange because usually shame throws someone into the dark, as we know. And they usually fall apart and, you know, go inward.
Feel traumatized. Yes.
Exactly. But your shame brought about a change.
Okay. Now, when you decided to move, I'm just genuinely curious. At points were you guys like, we should keep looking in Studio City, or was it not even an option?
It wasn't even an option, Casey.
I'm so happy. Oh, God.
Didn't even look in the Zillow of that zip code.
Wow. Now, again, it's a nice area if you live there. And I do know some friends that live there that listen to the podcast, and I love
including,
you guys.
Isn't that haunted house that... that you heard about where someone's daughter changed into a creature from the beyond.
Also Studio City. You know, I don't know what to say.
It gave me many good years. And I will say this, on my last night in there, because it was two nights ago, so I'm mid-move, but we are now sleeping in the new house. My last night, I did thank the house. I said, thank you for taking care of us during this pandemic, for putting a roof over our heads, for protecting us during this year, a place to, because we did, you know, we barely left the house in the last year. And so and then, you know, other sort of hard times that I had been through with my family and stuff, this house was a shelter for me. Mm. And so I thanked it. I kissed a wall.
You did not, Danielle.
Yes, I did, Casey. Because I thought to myself, so nice. I want to thank this place that has sheltered myself and my family for these last few years, especially this last year where it really was, you know, shelter in a storm. Yes. So I did thank the house. I didn't thank Studio City. I said, bah, you know, off with you, Studio City.
Yeah, you stay here, Boca de Prepa.
Yes, you stay here, Valley.
Well, your house was beautiful. And
thank you.
You're right. Everything you're saying, it's very touching. And I loved your house, but I'm glad you're in this new, beautiful house for new memories.
And it feels lighter. It feels brighter. A new day is dawning.
Yeah.
So I feel really good. So that's what's going on with me. Thank you for your shame and your pressure because it really got me to a new place. So anyone that tells
what
you
don't... What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
I don't know the lyrics.
Whatever those words are, then that other part.
How are you, Casey?
I'm great. You know, I do want to point out one quick coincidence.
Yes.
Danielle, that, you know, sometimes something happens, you know, I'm very into the magic of synchronicity.
Yes.
And it's really all I've built my life around, that philosophy of like, you know, little points of connection and odd things and nothing being a coincidence. And I don't think this is a coincidence, what I'm about to share.
as you know, as many of you all, you know, and I'm sorry to keep saying it just quickly. So my book is coming out on May 4th. Now, that is a date that HarperCollins picked for me, which I accepted happily.
Gracefully.
Graciously. I said, yes, thank you. Only to find out. I mean, I'm smiling from ear to ear.
What?
That I share my publishing date. I share a date with some other ladies.
Who?
And that is the cast of The Real Housewives of New York. Air date.
Stop. That
premier
is
date. Premier date
Casey,
and published date. May 4th.
That is no coincidence. This was set in the stars.
I mean, and like you're thinking about it, you're like, there's a lot. There are teams of light and our archangels and God, whomever, you're the universe, anyone.
People looking down upon us.
And I guess that's what they're working on up
there. Look, there are other things to be working on. They did work on a vaccine, and I'm very excited about that.
But and this is right up there.
This is up there. This is up there. Casey, this is no accident. This is no coincidence.
Yes.
This is set in the stars.
It's almost like, okay, we need these two works, these two prize winning.
Yes.
This these artistic creations.
Debuts
out into the world.
At the same time. Wow. Casey, this is huge.
Yeah. Thanks, Danielle. Thank you. So
this is huge. I'm very excited about this.
Yeah. I mean, I don't
Thank you, universe.
Which one I'm more excited about. Thank you, universe. Thank you, mommy. Thank you, grandma. Thank you, grandpa. Thank you, whoever's out there.
Thank you, Spongy. Hmm. Well, I don't think he wasn't. Maybe he died for a reason.
He died for our sins.
He died for our sins, and he also died for a reason to make this happen. Maybe he was the key that unlocked this.
You think Spongy speared himself to get up there and shake up the book world?
Yes. We don't know. We didn't know when the debut of New York was. We didn't know.
No, because we don't really find out until about a month before.
No, we don't. Yeah. And the fact that he was up there working in your favor, just like many before him, like Joan of Arc and many before that have sacrificed their lives for other greatness to
for me, because this is the high, me to just simply be able to say for 1 second, hey, these are the same day. So I guess I hope, Spongy, you're looking down or up, because
we don't know what he's
more
done
in, his life. In the water.
We don't know before what he did before he came to you. We don't know what sort of sins he committed.
Speaking of Spongy, Danielle. Before we start, we have such a wonderful guest coming out very quickly, but I don't think it's an exaggeration to say I've received hundreds of DMs, I've received letters, I've received emails about the passing of Spongy Wilson Casp.
I like that you also hyphenated his last name.
Very generous to throw my husband's name in there, let me tell you. Danielle, you all reached out, when I tell you, I have been screaming with laughter reading these. I asked some of you if I could read them on the podcast. Some of you I didn't. So I'm actually probably just not going to say names because I don't remember who I asked and who I didn't. But Mama got very deep. As Matt McConkie quotes of The Bachelor, which you know I never watch, but this is killing me. I got 10 toes on the ground into these DMs because, wow, Danielle. And I've sent some
impressive.
To you. I think we just need to read just
Let's
snippets
just read a few. Snippets.
Of everyone and what their connection to their own beta fish. This is solely about beta fish. So if you're not interested in beta fish content,
then you might want to
skip ahead. Go ahead, Danielle.
Oh, these are
you
so
wanna start us off?
Wild. Yes. Okay. This person is saying, everything went to my mom, I guess, about beta fish and her siblings because their mom, aka my great-grandmother's only child, my grandmother, had passed a few years earlier. My mom's youngest sister took the fish, which my mom and her four other siblings were more than okay with, and loved that thing until it died. When it died, she was so distraught that she had it cremated. Now it's in a tiny urn on my aunt's mantle, directly next to an urn containing some of my mother's ashes.
A tiny urn. That's a small urn. Someone says, Casey, I too had a deep connection to my fish, Mookie. He supported me during a college breakup, survived an unfortunate incident where I left him in my car and he froze, and then came back to life and came with me to law school. I bought him a new castle and he was severed. Devastating. Still 15 years later, I believe he is my guardian angel now.
Listen to this one. Okay. This will sound crazy, but he recognized my voice and could distinguish it from other people, and he liked to be pet. I put my finger in the top of his tank and he would swim up to my finger and literally use it to pet himself like a cat. Mm. I've had a lot of fish and other pets over the years, but Rasputin, P.S., a horrible, horrible man, and I were BFFs, and he still is one of the smartest animals I've ever had.
Beautiful, beautiful. Someone says, I felt a strong bond with my fish smackers.
Smackers.
He smacked his lips at me when he was hungry, but died a very sad death, freezing to death when the electricity went out after Sandy. Real pain. Sorry for your loss.
He froze to death?
I mean, you know, Sandy affected us all, Danielle.
In different ways. I love that he froze. I mean, I don't love that he froze to death, but I've heard that is the one of the most terrible deaths you can have. So that's a really tough spot.
So sorry, smackers.
Just sorry, smackers. Okay. Oh, I'm so connected to my beta fish bus. I don't know that these connections are light that gets created outside you from two beings. That light will shine brightly into eternity.
Says, I'm so sorry about Spongy. It doesn't matter what anyone says. Your feelings are real and not ridiculous. It was once explained to me by a Buddhist monk. Each life force contains the spark of God, death, universe. Our connection with another is the recognition of God, spark, and vice versa. So regardless what anyone says, you know this connection was real and it lifted your heart and soul. Thank you to whoever wrote this. And then she beautifully links it up with my back issues, which I appreciate. Your back issues could be connected to Spongy's passing. The metaphysical attribution of the back is support and foundation, and sometimes our bodies need some time to release the energy and issues we are experiencing. Wow. Wow.
This is Casey. I bought a beta fish named Beetlejuice a month before the world shut down, so perhaps that's why I'm a helicopter mom who talks to him, make sure he is alive every time I pass, and have made my mother and 90-year-old grandmother FaceTime him multiple times. R.I.P. Spongy.
Someone says, Casey, I just lost my beta fish 2 weeks ago. I relate to everything you said. Each morning I would wake up and he would come over and greet me. We were connected. I would carry him down to sit by my desk and we would just stare at each other. I trained him to use a leaf hammock so he could relax.
A leaf hammock?
So he could relax. He passed while I was visiting my parents and my roommate was watching him. She frantically FaceTimed me to tell me, and we had to have a proper Flushing funeral over the phone while I sang in the arms of the angel. Again, not we're laughing because I'm crying with you. She said it's a sad way to say goodbye to the love of my life during a pandemic.
Oh,
thank you for
God.
That. Beautiful.
Okay, my husband came home with Pop-Tart, the beta fish, after a trip to Petco. Apparently, Petco no longer sells plain goldfish. And $120 later, we had Pop-Tart. Okay, cut to me and only me taking care of this goddamn fish, changing the water, getting the thermometer and the water heater, getting a little castle for him to swim in, and other accoutrements trying to cure him of swim bladder disease.
A lot of people wrote
by
about
that. By feeding him thawed-out pee cut into tiny pieces.
A lot of people did feeding with hands, such as this woman. Beta fish rescue story. Years ago, I had a blue beta named Griswold. My husband and I had two dogs, but Griz was all mine. We left for a long vacation, and I prepped Griz with fresh water and time-release food tabs, as I'd done many times in the past. After 10 days, we returned. Griz was barely alive, thin, lethargic, barely swimming. Upon investigation, I discovered the time-release food tabs had malfunctioned, and Griz was starving. Here's where I became a fish-first responder. I grabbed his pellets, crushed them up with a spoon. I got my net. I scooped Griz to the top and proceeded to spoon feed my fish. I pushed him around the net to circulate water into his gills and fed him some more. And after quite some time, I decided to give him a break. Slowly, Grizz regained health and thrived another several months before succumbing to what I believe had been chronic injuries due to that traumatic event.
Sorry. I mean, we also have a very good story from
Caitlin,
you know, basically our producer and editor, Caitlin, yes. Who is...
Well, she tells us about her friend who reached out to her upon hearing this, and that at one point, Nicole was working in the army in Afghanistan and had a beta fish that passed.
Yeah, and they were able to give the beta fish, because it was a sea creature, they wanted to get someone from the sea, a naval officer, and they were able to give it a proper naval funeral, like a 4-star salute naval funeral with this fish.
Day is done.
Gone the fish.
The sun. Someone says, Casey, I had a beta fish named Princess Dandy Rich Brandy Wine, a la Sex in the City. Just love that spunky girl. I used to travel with her. She had a small cup between my legs and she would ride with me on long car rides. A true little trooper buddy. R.I.P. Spongy. have really lost their minds.
First and foremost, sorry for the loss of Spongy. I had a beta named Uncle Jesse for almost 2 years. We would listen to the Beach Boys together, and he would dance when I sang for him. Our bond was unlike anything I've ever known, and when he died, a week before my 21st birthday, I was devastated. Going out to celebrate my birthday was bittersweet. And after many shots, I found myself weeping, wishing Uncle Jay was there. And if he was, I would have brought his tank to the bar. The 14th anniversary of Uncle Jesse's passing is very difficult each year. My husband looked at a fish and I couldn't bring myself to buy one because I don't think my heart can love another one. It is a true bond. Take your time to grieve.
What?
Thank you, Rebecca.
Guys.
I will. One woman says that she witnessed at her husband's mother's funeral. Her husband did not shed one tear, but wept during the funeral of their beta fish.
This is all misplaced grief.
Many people have rescued their fish with bare hands. Many of them have jumped out onto the carpet. Some of them have lived for a while on the carpet. Danielle, someone says...
Didn't you tell me about someone who gave CPR to the fish?
That's right. And someone says, 2 days later, my fish committed suicide, jumped out on the tank onto the floor. We found his body, and to this day, we don't know if he had gone mad from the toilet water. There had been another incident. I carry that with me every day. Light for Spongy. Someone says, I cried like a baby when my daughter's beta fish, Charlie, died. His tank was in the kitchen and I talked to him all the time. This was 2 years ago and I still miss him. I had a funeral for him in our yard in Kansas. None of my three daughters attended. The next day, I saw a coyote dig him up and eat him.
No!
I'm convinced his little fish soul joined with the coyotes and he is running through the farm fields of Kansas, free and happy. Run free, Charlie.
Run.
Now, look, you know, and I really like where she's had to go to make that work, you know?
Yeah, that
last one, Danielle, from Dan. Hi, Casey. As a fellow Scorpio, I've always felt a strong connection with your comedic perspective. Thank you, Dan. I wanted to send my condolences on your recent loss. My secret shame is that I had a beta fish that was also the longest and healthiest relationship I've ever had. I'm not proud of this, but I actually had a built-in water garden that would use my fish's tank to grow grass that I would then put in my smoothies every morning and eat. I'm not proud of that.
You should not.
Okay, that's like a sidebar. I'm not proud of that.
You've got some dietary issues. You should not be eating things that have been in a bowl with a fish.
Yeah. After 3 years, I decided to add a SpongeBob castle, but it was toxic. And my friend was dead by the time I woke up. All of this is to validate your mourning and say I understand how you feel. Gone too soon.
Dan, you have bigger problems.
Dan, you've got bigger fish to fry,
yes,
here, I say.
Yes, you do. And I feel like we should just, you know, you could just go to a smoothie shop or, you know, make it in a blender. I don't think we need to.
Jamba Juice, Dan.
Yeah, there's easier ways to get your fruit in the morning, Dan.
No, Danielle, the final one is more, it's really a story about someone's beta fish, but just sort of a message to me to make, and this I've been carrying around. And I want to thank the writer of this came to our email account. This person just said, listen, you should know it's very unlikely your fish died because of the grass you put in. He probably died of something else and fell on the grass once dead. Most fish don't float away right away when they die unless they have air in their body for some reason. So depending on the type of beta you had, Japanese fighter fish, he may have had a condition when you brought him home already. If anything, this is what he says, Danielle. If anything, your care and love helped him feel incredibly comfortable in the last days. And I hope this makes you feel better. And it does. Sincerely, Jesus L. It does, Jesus, because...
The fact that he's named Jesus...
I bet this is Jesus writing.
I was going to say, again, no coincidences.
Nope. Yes, Danielle.
But Jesus himself.
If anything, I made him feel more comfortable. Now, again, he was speared...
But maybe he was speared post-mortem.
That's right.
Is what we're hoping.
You know, there's internet sleuths. If you've seen the Cecil Hotel, if you've seen, you know, right now, a lot of us out there are trying to kind of recreate scenes, crime scenes, mm-hmm. you know, and we're putting things together. So I appreciate that type of investigative
work. That is to make you feel better. I mean, can I ask you a question? What might help us solve it is when he was speared, and here's something I don't know how much fish bleed, but when he was speared, if blood came out... He might have been alive, perhaps.
Do fish have blood in them? I guess they do.
I think they do.
No, I didn't see that. If anything, he did look a bit like nestled in amongst. But again, as I mentioned, the grass was all different levels. And I took photos of that grass. I'm going to post that in my Instagram stories at Casey Rose Wilson. I don't think it's ready for the grid. I just just can't thank everyone enough for your letters. They made me laugh so hard. There's a lot. I think this really touched a nerve, these little guys.
Yeah, they did. And touched some funny bones for some of us.
Some of us, Danielle. But again, I let Danielle read some of these, even though she did not. You know, she was on the wrong side of history on this one.
I was. Casey said, these people have shown me more love. Strangers on the street have shown me more love in Fishy's demise or Spongy's demise than I seem to have been able
Spongy,
to.
Spongy, Danielle.
What did I call him?
Spongy.
A Fishy.
Fishy.
I mean, it's all
Let's take a break, Danielle, please. We can come back with a guest. And Lord, lift us up where we belong. We're going to move forward into this brave new world. And just so everyone knows, I haven't even unplugged my fish tank. It's still bubbling and gurgling as it was. Lit up with that fluorescent pink.
Are you going to bring another
gravel
fish into his...
Danielle, how dare you, Danielle?
Sorry.
I hate when a pet dies, and that's what people want to jump in with. When the next one.
You're right.
We're sitting in the discomfort, Danielle.
I'm not that uncomfortable.
Okay, let's take a break. We're back.
Oh, yes, we are with an amazing guest. Now, this is a guest that we've had on the podcast before, and she's a delight and a treat.
This is a friend of mine. She is a comedic legend.
An Emmy Award nominee.
How about that, Danielle? How about that? She is an actress known for Saturday Night Live, Will and Grace, the greatest movie of all time, Barb and Star Go to Vista Del Mar. How dare
so
you if
funny.
You haven't seen it?
Guys, it's the funniest movie, and this woman is so fucking funny.
Absolutely. She co-created and stars, hello, in the new Showtime comedy pilot, I Love This For You. She's also a writer of the children's book, How Do You Care for a Very Sick Bear? Please welcome our friend, the lovely, gorgeous Vanessa Bayer.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for having me. And what an intro.
Wow, we're big fans and big friends.
And same to you.
What an intro for 8:42 in the morning.
It's early. Ooh, it's early, guys.
We started this podcast at 8:42 at night, like 5 years ago, and it's just crept earlier and earlier.
We just become mothers, and we're just like, we can't stay up at 8:42 at night. Uh-uh. Vanessa, how are you?
Oh, I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Not well.
Not good. Vanessa, can we just open with a little discussion? The Real Housewives of New York trailer came to us.
Mm-hmm. Came to us like a beacon of light this week.
Yes.
What do you think?
I'm just thrilled. I'm excited. It just sounds like everybody is going to be themselves on a 10 this coming season.
Really? And we have a new player amongst us, Ebony K. Williams, who looks like a great addition
yes,
to this group.
Yes.
Even her facial expression, and I'm sure they edited this, but it just killed me when Leah was like, you're a hoe and you're a hoe and you're a hoe. Ebony looked like she's bringing fun. It looks like we're going to have a lot going on between her and Miss Ramona.
Yes.
I expect nothing less.
And she's the first woman of color in New York on the series, which is a lot of pressure for her, too. I'm sure she's just like, oh, great.
Right.
That's a lot, everybody. But she is coming in with power and smarts and beauty, all my favorite housewives qualities, honesty.
Unfortunately, she seems to be followed by Heather.
Why is she back? No one asked for Miss Holla Heather. What's her? I wanted to call her brand Tidy Whities, but that's not what it was called. What's her brand?
Yummy Tummy.
Yummy Tummy. Yeah.
Some sort of alliteration.
Do you think when Skims came out, it took business from Yummy Tummy, or is Yummy Tummy have its own like little, group?
Is Yummy Tummy post Skims or pre Skims?
Oh, way pre Skims.
Wait, do you guys mean Spanx?
No. So there is Spanx, then there's Skims, and then there's Yummy Tummy. I've tried Yummy Tummy. I did like it.
Did you?
Yeah.
I got like a skirt slip from them once, like on Amazon, I think. And it did roll. It rolled in a way that, meaning
wasn't. Nobody wants their Yummy Tummy to roll.
There's literally nothing more indicting for those types of products to say it rolls. Like, wow, you put the fucking nail in their coffin, Vanessa.
Well, I do think, here I'm going back on my words and saying I think a skirt slip is hard. hard.
Not for Spanx, it's not.
Got it, got it. It feels like I've been wearing sweatsuits for 2 years, so that's maybe why I...
I haven't been in a Spanx in, God, in a
such
year.
A long,
yeah, yeah, because there's been no need to Spanx it up, you know.
I'm in hundreds. On the show I'm on, this always makes me laugh. Vanessa, I feel like this would never happen to you, but whenever I get to my trailer, whatever show I'm on, the costume designer has put out an amount of Spanx to cover every ounce of my body. They're like, here's a Spanx for your finger. Here's one for your forearm. They're like, here's one for your shoulder blade. I'm like, guys.
Does everything need to be kept in?
One will do.
That's really funny. That just happened to me too.
They're like, we know you're going to want this. Like, I do.
But, I'll never forget when we saw Shannon Bedore in a full, like a suit of armor of Spanx, where it was like every, remember when she was like in Mexico and every, like, and we've all been there, but I've just never seen it like on somebody else in front, like really like laid bare, like a body armor of Spanx. It was a shock to just see it live. See what we women must put ourselves through on a daily basis. It was tough. Should we get into Atlanta this week?
Yeah, let's get into it. I'm excited for New York. I'm really excited to see this friendship between Leah and Ebony. I was just quickly, one name, the only name I care about this year is Garth, and that's it.
Garth. I mean, I'm just excited to see my friends again. That's how I felt. Yes. Like, I was just like new and old. And Ebony felt like an old friend, too.
Yes. You're right. I just want to see my friends again after this year. It's like we're all reconnecting after this year. And it's time to see them. Remember, Danielle, the beginning of the pandemic, and I mean 3 weeks into it, we had got our ring lights out and we were on Watch What Happens Live with Sonia, who was juicing.
That was so fun to watch you guys on that.
Thank you.
Well, Vanessa, you have a tour de force. Will you express, sorry to go off topic here, but tell us what you did on Watch What Happens Live, please, the last time you were on it, and everybody needs to look it up.
You both reached out to me. You both reached out to me.
This was the performance of the year. I hope you win Emmys.
Me too.
Tonys.
Fill
Oscars,
us in, please.
Nobel Prizes.
Okay, well, I was watching Salt Lake and I found Lisa's voice to be very easy to mimic. And I was like starting to do it to my friends, I guess, over the I was watching myself. I don't know how I would, but I started, I guess, like doing it back to the TV a little bit and stuff. And then and then I actually was really like, and then I sort of started doing Whitney, and I sort of did Meredith too, but I don't think it was as good. But I was really hoping to have some kind of a platform to do them on. And so I actually was thinking, because I was initially supposed to do Bitch Sesh earlier. So I was thinking I would maybe do it on Bitch Sesh. And then I got asked to do Watch What Happens Live to promote Barb and Star. And so
we lose a lot of big stories to the other journalists. You know, we're used to it.
They scoop us. They sometimes Watch What Happens Live scoops us. And that's right. Tough. But you know, they came first, just like Skims to Yummy Tummy. They came first. And so we,
of course,
we'll be nipping at their heels soon. Like the Today Show is going to get toppled by GMA. Go on.
Well, I immediately said to them, because I always feel like they like if you can bring your own stuff to that show. So I said to the Watch What Happens Live people, I do an impression of Lisa and of Whitney, if like, and I'd be happy to do them on the show. Basically, like, let me do them. They were like, great. And then I thought I like sort of worked on my own like sort of monologues for each one. Okay. And then they were like, will you just do this scene between the two of them? And I was like, oh yeah, of course. Like, yeah. I didn't work on this whole other thing.
Right. I didn't spend hours preparing. Yeah.
Marco following with my friend Julie and having So anyways, and so then they asked me to do that. And so I practiced it for my friend Julie and my manager Dan, who I was like, is this as good as my monologues? And they were like, yes, it's fine.
They were like, well, regardless, it's what they've asked you to do.
Yeah, they were like, you're gonna look insane if
don't
you start.
don't go off on your own.
It's a half hour show. It's kind of more bite-sized.
Your monologues were 30 minutes each, so just cut them down.
Although, you know, on this show we've got all the time in the world.
But anyways, so then I did it on the show, and it was so much fun, and more people reached out to me about it than I would have ever expected.
I had to I literally had, like, the minute it was over, I took to the email. Like,
Thank you. It was really fun.
They give those guest star Emmys at the, you know, like Maya always gets like an Emmy for like guesting on SNL or whatever. And I feel like you deserve one for this.
I'm just going to put very nice
for your consideration. I'm going to take out an ad.
It was so fun. And I was so, and then I became obsessed with like seeing if they would comment on it. And Lisa, they did.
It doesn't sound like you're thrilled with what happened.
Yeah,
was it like a heart, a thumbs up?
Well, I got kind of like a nice comments from Lisa and Whitney, sort of. I followed both of them. Lisa followed me back. Whitney did not. Which is kind of the opposite of how I would have thought that would have gone down.
No, but Lisa is totally a star fucker. No, Lisa is like, I'm the Sundance queen. Like, of course she knows who you are. Whitney is up in the clouds. Like, she doesn't know what's happening day or night.
Well, she knew enough to kind of comment on what I had done, but not.
I'm with you, Vanessa. Yeah, she knew enough.
Yeah.
And then what were the comments? Could I just any?
I'm trying to remember. They sort of like them. I feel like Whitney's comment was more like, haha, but like less into it. Like Lisa, I feel like loves to be, you know, part of the conversation. I think she loves to be like,
right. You know. I feel like Whitney would give the like hot pink heart that has like the radiating heart, you know?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
That's Whitney's main emoji.
Can I do my monologues for you guys? I'm going to do them for you.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh my God. I'm so thrilled.
We didn't
know I was going to ask, but sometimes, not that people are asking me, but I get like annoyed when people ask me to do an impression like out of nowhere on the spot because I only really do one and that's why I was fired from SNL. But you, I forgot, have succeeded on that platform and are a great impressionist.
But you guys, I do feel like, I feel like so weird asking to do them, but
are you kidding? We need this.
Okay.
I've never been more excited. I'm putting down my mic and just watching.
It's definitely going to disappoint you.
Who will you be hearing from first?
Okay.
Who's here with us today?
Who am I looking at?
Okay. First, I'm going to do the Lisa I worked on, which I called them monologues. They're very short. Okay. The Lisa was something like.
You know exactly what it's like.
I'm sorry. I truly wish I practiced for the podcast, but.
Us and not to practice it's a bold swing.
Seems like you both practiced and didn't ask on Watch What Happens Live.
Okay. I love Sundance. It is my favorite thing in the world. It goes Sundance and then my kids and then my husband and then everything else. I love Sundance so much. It is my favorite thing in the world. Nothing else is as important. I don't know. It was something
it's
like
amazing.
That.
That something was amazing. Like that. You literally sound just Lisa was with us.
She was. She came through. She came through like
she's
a
here.
Spirit. She's here.
Wow. Vanessa, that's so fucking good. Is Whitney here?
This is drunk Whitney. I'm a truth seller. And I just want you to know that I will always tell you the truth. And if you And I'm not a swinger, and I just want you to know that I'm a true friend. And if you think that, and it's like so I can't remember.
That's so good.
And the fact that you called her a truth seller and not a truth
and a swinger.
I can't remember her phrases that she used to.
No,
like
when
she has, and I know I'm going to hear it about women and their voices and this and that, but she has such a dumb voice. And I actually don't think she's dumb, but her voice is so.
She actually has the same voice kind of as Brandy and Stephanie. They all have the same voice.
They all have those sort of like cut off from the rest of their bodies.
Yes.
Yeah. The voice is.
Vanessa, wow.
That was.
Thank you.
Can I do
thank
my
you.
Meredith for you too that never gets there?
Okay. Yes.
This is the only place where this. Yes.
See, this is where this content lives and dies, but lives.
Okay. This is going to be not as good. Honestly, if they want to talk about me or my husband, I will disengage. It's not a question of what we did, when we did it, I will disengage no matter what. If you talk about my marriage or my kids or my husband, I will disengage.
That is your best one.
That really?
Yes.
Incredible.
It's so good, Vanessa. How did you get, and I'm going to ask as though I'm just simply never been in this business, but how did you get so good at impressions?
You're
I'm not. I'm genuinely wondering. Like, you're so good at it.
So good.
When you were little, were you just doing this?
I don't know. Of my teachers, I guess. I think we all, it's just from watching so much TV.
No, that's the saddest fact.
That's what's so sad about it, is it's just, you watch people enough, you just start doing their voice.
The people in the TV are your friends, as they are mine. Mm.
Now, can we move on, or do you have a Heather or Mary Cosby and Jen you'd like to break out?
I feel confident. I'm going to work on a Heather for next time.
Okay, before we go to break and then start with Atlanta, we owe you an apology. Danielle, you're not even aware of the misstep that we've made with Vanessa, that she made me aware of. Yeah,
we do.
Vanessa, it was known to me the last time I saw you that I had attributed wrongfully. And, you know, we're not afraid to apologize on this show, Danielle. We've done it one time.
We have to do it many times.
Oh, I think I know what you're going to say.
You know, you actually had brought our eyes and ears and hearts to 90 Day Fiancé. And when we had my sister-in-law, Shira Kasp, on, I attributed, you know, are following the show to her. And I apologize for
that. I'm so sorry. You did bring it to us. I'm so sorry.
Thank you.
Yeah. So sorry.
You know, I appreciate it. And here's the truth, is that you guys attributed it to her, and then you kind of mentioned my name, kind of impact, like you sort of went.
Oh, I didn't even think I mentioned
you.
Yeah,
I think you did. I think
bad.
Then what do you want from us? What do you want from us?
We're a fucking podcast.
I want a full like segment.
Right.
Kind of.
A dedication?
Yeah.
And not only 90 Day, you also, when we were first getting to know you, emailed us several times about a specific episode of another show you said, if people haven't watched, like they don't even like reality TV, basically. And that is an episode of Say Yes to the Dress. And will you remind us what that episode is?
It is season 15, episode 9. It's called This Is My Fiance and This Is My Wife. And it is so fascinating. All three couples, but particularly this one man who comes in with his wife and his fiance, and it's a whole thing. And the way that the wife and fiance act is really interesting, but then also the way that the people at the bridal store act, which is very unprofessional.
I imagine. Great. Oh my God.
I like how you call it unprofessional, as to say the least.
We can't always keep our professionalism on point. Let's take a quick break and come back with Vanessa Bayer and Atlanta. We're back.
Guys, Atlanta this week. I love Atlanta. God bless these women and what they give me in my lonely times at home. God. Now, can we talk about Marlo's new business, which I think is a great move for her, which is renting out her own clothing.
In a kind of kiosk of sorts.
Yeah, it seems to be a part of another store or like the back of a store.
A lean-to. She's renting out her own clothes. And I guess it's just like, you can come if you are that size.
Right. And can I just ask this as well? She has a lot of really expensive designer clothes.
Correct.
How does everyone afford their clothes?
Now, this is a question I ask on all of the housewives, houses and clothes. And I'm like, are they like, and I also thought this with Jersey, which is like, they all have summer houses too. And I'm like, what are they? How does everyone have two houses? Like,
I know. How does Melissa Gorga have a shore house?
I know. I'm shocked.
I couldn't get a second house if I fucking cobbled together every goddamn cent.
I know. People have designer clothes and not like just, they just must have money.
You know, Vanessa, there's some rumors circulating about Marlo's, you know, where her finances are coming from. I'm not subscribing to those rumors, so I don't want to hear about it, everyone. I'm just simply telling you to Google it.
I don't know how these people's finances, maybe the show just pays that well. Maybe they have other income sources.
Well, I do believe that you make a lot of money. We'll get to it, but I do believe Grow with Gorga is a very lucrative.
Enterprise.
Sure.
You know, I'm liking Marlo and Kenya. I do.
I don't trust it.
And I know I've turned on Kenya in the last couple episodes, but I don't know. For whatever reason, my heart was a bit warm seeing her show up to Marlo's weird store opening.
I don't trust Kenya right now.
Yeah.
She's in that place where, like, she's desperate for a friend. So I don't trust this friendship. And I worry that Marlo's going to get hurt. And I worry about the state of Marlo's heart. And so I don't like this friendship for Marlo. I don't. I think Portia's a better friend for her. And I think she's...
I've turned. I'm like, of course. What was I saying?
I think as much as Marlo is funny and like zings people, you know, at their lowest. I think her heart is very tender. And I worry about her. And so I don't want this friendship for her.
The only thing I like about the friendship is that they're both so good at like truly burning each other in such a, like, they're both so sharp and funny that like, it was getting to a point where like, when they were in the same room, it was getting so intense that like, now that they're friends, at least they aren't using their like forces against each other. And
correct. That's
good. And that's what I love about this show, because and I'm a terrible person, but it does kind of give me life to see two people that hate each other come together so strong. It then alienates the nice people that have like been in their corner that whole time.
Yeah.
They're like, fuck you, Portia. And I just, it's so dark and kind of like human nature-y and twisted that I kind of like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Kenya literally took a marching band through Marlo's, you know, hair care line, through her debut.
I'm loving Marlo's short hair in this episode. Yes. I thought it looked fresh, fresh, fresh.
Yes.
I love Marlo. I really do.
Yeah, I do too.
Should we go to the Halloween party?
Okay. This is a Halloween party.
Oh.
I mean, I know that every single thing on every single Housewives franchise is just them sitting in a room, like getting very dressed up to sit in a room. But
exactly, because of COVID, like we can't have...
But also even before that, like
even before COVID.
Nothing really has changed there.
That is true. That is true.
But now, who is Fallon?
She's a friend of Portia's who's very wealthy and married to an older gentleman.
A 55-year-old gentleman,
which
we find out.
Which is basically my peer. So to call that person old.
Everyone's like, you're fucking that old man. I'm like my husband. So she's kind of like with us and not with us. So she says, if you haven't seen it, she's going to throw this huge Halloween bash. And the women need to get dressed up, as they all do. I mean, people were wearing colored contacts to match their costumes. Like, everybody really threw themselves into it, except for Portia, who came as a kitty cat.
Yes. Well, there were different brands of cats. Like, Candy came as like a cat with like, she had like a whole facial molding and stuff. And then we had
Drew,
who came as Cats from the movie Cats, which was almost the most upsetting cat.
From the musical, which to me just cemented my love for Drew. Like, I love her so much. And she's like now risen the ranks as one of my favorites.
And then Portia just came as like cat ears and like a bustier.
It said on the screen, domestic cat.
I didn't see that.
I wrote it down. It's
domestic cat.
Oh my God. Oh,
I did not see that. That's beautiful.
Well, Portia made me laugh when she said, you guys look like Broadway cats. I'm a puss.
It's the thing that I always would do when I go to Halloween parties, where I'm like, I don't dress up at all. And I'm like, this is my, like, I try and make it seem like I had like a whole concept behind it.
Of course. Well, I did, like, Cynthia made me laugh as her hand sanitizer.
Yes. That was a great costume.
And then Shamia as an astronaut. For some reason, seeing Shamia come up with an astro costume, I died. And then Fallon as Medusa.
That Medusa outfit was intense.
Yeah.
And then Toya burst in and someone called her a broke-ass mermaid. I believe that was Fallon, I think.
What was going on? Why was there sort of a red
line
in the middle that was like, it started falling off her face at the end of the night, but there was like a
She had a net. She had a net on. She was wearing a net. Well, right. Those don't stay put.
But the divider, was it like her mermaid? I couldn't quite tell what. Why.
Right. It's like it looked like when my brother went as half man, half woman when he was like 7, you know, the divide down the middle. But you're right. I couldn't tell what we were dividing.
Yeah.
Like woman from fish.
Net from person.
I don't know. And then basically Fallon hypes up this party. Like, we're going to a Halloween. Like, this might as well, I don't even know, you know, like haunted hayride kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then they all come through Fallon's garage. And it is a bit scary. Like, a man jumps out, which in COVID, I don't want that. You know?
No.
It did feel scary. Only for them to burst after 2 seconds into the brightest lit kitchen island I have ever seen. And then they sit there with no food.
No food. to not have a spread. Like it was just a couple of sandwiches, it seemed, or like a crudité.
Which, as Cynthia rudely said, Candy could eat all that.
Oh
no, I saw that.
I was like, Cynthia, please.
Cynthia, how dare you?
How dare you? And Toya came in hot.
Ooh. Toya came in so hot.
Toya wanted to have people feed her. And that was a bit like,
which to be fair, I was sort of like, this is a really huge, nice house. Like, is someone going to
feed her?
Is someone going to serve her? Which is what
like,
she asked
I wouldn't
for.
Have said that. I wouldn't have said it the way she said it. But I would have said like, is your chef nearby or is your
you would have asked something.
You would have said passive aggressively, is there a chef on the premises?
Is anybody
I would have said anyone, so do I need to stand up and get my drinks or
right, kind of shamed them in just the asking of the question, like your confusion would shame them.
Yeah,
that's nice, Vanessa.
For that level of an estate, it feels
it should feel, but still they don't seem to have any other COVID problems. Like it's not like, okay, I'm not having anyone near my house, but if you're gonna have people to your house, then you should probably
have one of the people who's dressed up as like a scary ghost come help with the drinks.
Absolutely. Like Cynthia threw a wedding for 250 the week before, like one server. Toya, just to be yelling at the hostess, is it jealousy? Is it what is it? I mean,
no,
she's yelling immediately, this ain't your property. You have three baby daddies, you're a hoe, serve me. You know, it was a lot to be yelling at Fallon.
Yeah.
Who seems very nice.
Totally nice.
Fallon losing it, running through the house looking for a golf club.
Yes. And the way they reacted to her running was so funny. And Portia being like, the only way I knew it was her because one of her Medusa snakes was on the floor or whatever.
And then when they, how dare they have a close-up of that Medusa snake? I don't even care if they filmed it later. It was so good. Beautiful. But the way she scamper clawed, it was like something out of Lord of the Rings or like, ah, ah, ah. Like she scampered.
Like, and she was in costume. So I'm sure she was like slip sliding.
Yeah. In tights.
To get a golf club to beat Toya to death.
Oh my gosh. It was. It and was, then everyone running after her. It was like an episode, and I'm going to date myself here. And this is even pre me, like, but an episode of Benny Hill, which is people just running after each other through the house. Oh my God. I needed it. It really made me laugh.
But I need, like, I kind of need Toya to, like, redeem herself. Like, I just feel like Toya has burst onto the scene and just been kind of nasty to everybody. And it's sort of like, if that's her only level, it's like, I just.
But she also made out with Portia, which was a nice level. And you know what I mean? Like,
that
levels.
Was a really nice level.
I think that was a nice level.
We've gotten a few levels with her. I don't mind.
Right. And I like her trying to turn that into the reason. She's like, well, I think the issue is that we kissed to Portia. And Portia's like, what?
Yes. Making no sense in her talk with Portia. And Portia's like, no, you don't understand. I'm telling you, we're going to have a problem if we continue this line of talking. And Toya's like, what line? It was so, yeah. I couldn't even understand what was happening.
That's what I liked about it.
And she was like, and I need to know the root of your issues with Kenya. And Portia's like, no, like, get out of here.
Yes. And I kind of like seeing Kenya on her heels, where Kenya cares about that relationship. And then Toya's telling her business to everyone about alimony. And I don't know. I think to me, that's an interesting plot line. But Toya is wild. I love Drew. I'm just liking what I'm seeing. Drew.
Yes. The new cast members have come alive and really helped the franchise. You know, even Shamia in the little parts that she plays. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to see her.
It was nice of her to come down from space and be with us. I mean, I don't have any more on Atlanta. Do you guys?
No, I don't, Vanessa.
I know. I just, the only thing that I thought was like, after that party, how Candy and Drew must have felt like taking off all their prosthetic makeup to just, that they put so much effort in just to sit in a kitchen. How that must have felt, the hours of taking off.
And putting on. Candy was in that makeup chair for 3 hours, and so was Drew.
Yes, at least. That was some intense makeup and prosthetics.
As Kenya said, genuinely not even really trying to be funny. She just said, this was not the turnup I expected.
If we really think about it, Portia came the best dressed in the terms of like for what we were doing, Portia was the most appropriate.
Exactly. Portia was the right level.
Became the latest.
Of course, as you should to someone's kitchen. Yes.
I really, Candy is bringing me life this season, which, as you know, I've spoke about her in the past as maybe she's more disposable. I love her. I just love her.
I love her. And Portia not recognizing Candy was so funny.
It's like, there's only seven of us. Who do you think she is?
She was like, who are you?
Oh, God, it's so good. All right, should we move on to New Jersey?
Yes. Now, I like that we're getting different seasons depending on the city. Because in Atlanta, we're in the fall, obviously. But in Jersey, it's the height of summer.
Sure. Yeah, New Jersey, I felt, started with a bang. We had some beautiful words from Jen in which she said, last night was a bad night. Not only did I vomit all over Bill's Ferrari, but I vomited in my foyer.
Oh, I wrote that down too. She goes, I threw up all over my foyer.
And then we see her cleaning it. And I didn't think Jen could pull together a reference like this, which is dumb, but it did make me laugh when she said, out damn spot.
Yes, me too.
I was like, she's quoting Shakespeare. She's cleaning. I'm charmed by her.
Charmed. Cleaning up her vomit from her like borderline alcoholism. I love
you guys,
it.
I bet on my life that Jen does not have any idea that that's from Shakespeare. It's probably from like a scrubbing bubbles commercial. Like I stake my life on that.
You're right. She doesn't know the source.
No, she's like, I heard it on a commercial. Again, not that you're smarter if you know Shakespeare, who cares? But at the same time, I just...
You know what bothered me this week in pop culture? That is so such an old lady weird thing to care about. But I saw that... Well, who's that Olsen?
Elizabeth.
I read it's like the internet is blowing up over Elizabeth's father's brave words, which is no is a complete sentence. I'm like, you motherfuckers, that's Oprah. These young people are like skipping over the fact of who said this. It's like, she's like, my father gave me some beautiful advice. No is a complete sentence. And everyone's like, thank you, Elizabeth Olsen's father. I'm like, no, thank you, Oprah. For whatever reason, I was in my car like, God damn it.
These kids so know pissed. Nothing.
It's like, learn your references.
And also the Olsen father, and I'm just going to say that you put three of your kids in a showbiz when they were children. So I don't know that I trust
Elizabeth's
you.
Anyway. Doing better than I am. Okay.
Look, they're all doing better than I am.
I wish Paul Wilson had given me a head start.
Oh, please. I begged my parents. My parents said, if you want this business, you have to call the agencies yourself. So there I was in South Florida at the age of 12, calling up South Florida talent agencies.
The age of what?
Oh, my 12. God.
12?
I thought that was so
looking
cute.
Them up in the phone book and calling them myself.
And saying what?
I'd like representation.
I didn't even know you could get representation.
I think I had seen it somewhere or something. I called talent agencies, again, not in the biggest entertainment capitals of the world, but, you know, just in my local phone book, looked them up in the yellow pages and called them myself.
I saw an ad in the paper for The Miracle Worker, a community theater production, and made my dad take me, you know, try out for Helen Keller. And they gave me the sides. And I said to the woman genuinely, because I do think this is a genuine question, how am I supposed to read these if I'm playing blind? But I did. And wow.
And did you get it?
No, I did not.
Tough.
How?
Did you perform, Vanessa? When you were younger?
I did a little thing called Stagecrafters.
oh, boy.
Which was, I guess, kindergarten through seventh grade, the after-school theater program. And yeah, I had some amazing parts. I was Mrs. Darling and Tiger Lily. I was the Blue Fairy for one out of three performances of the community production of Pinocchio. Yeah, I had some really big... It's really funny because they have a Stagecrafters camp every summer, and they asked me to talk to the kids on Zoom. And I like this over the summer because they had like Zoom camp, and I was like, oh, of course. Like I felt bad for them that they couldn't do actual, you know, in-person Stagecrafters camp. But I realized I have so much like animosity towards the program because I always felt like I was getting, you know, not cast to my talent. Sure. And so I kind of like passive aggressively brought it up in front of the kids in a way that I feel made them disappointed in me.
They're like, it's not the same administration here. That's not our fault.
Yeah. I was always given a role, and I might have said this on the podcast before, like, I always saw myself as more of an ingenue. You know, I saw myself as an Annie. I saw myself.
Helen Keller.
Helen Keller as a Kim in Bye Bye Birdie, and was always given a more usually male and comedic role. So it's like drunk man in Guys and Dolls. You know what I mean? Or like, you know, in Annie, I was one of the Hoovervilles. Like,
yes, I kind of gave you my best parts, but I was mostly that. I was an eel in The Little Mermaid. And I remember the teacher being like, the eel is a really good part. If you got, like, we could write down, this is when we were really young, we could write down what parts we wanted. And I was the eel, and I thought.
So she kind of guided you toward the eel.
Yeah. Like.
Wow. Not towards Ursula, who I've said before, Ursula is the greatest musical theater character we have.
It's such a great part.
It's tough to be told at 12 that you're a character actor.
Yeah. Yeah. They're like, you'll be playing men or women 50 up.
Yeah, that's something you want at when you are that age. But to be like a character actor when you're a child is tough.
Now, guys, in New Jersey, I have a question about David. So there was a lot going on this week about kind of delving into David and Dolores's relationship. Honestly, I don't see a problem. Am I crazy? I'm like, she's got Frank. I don't know. I'm just kind of like, in some ways, she's getting what she needs out of both men, and two halves are making a whole. But here's my question. Does David want to be with Dolores, or does he just not want to be on the show? He's a doctor.
He's a doctor, but it seems to go beyond the show because she's not getting enough from him in life, it seems. I think she would be okay if he wasn't on the show, but it seems she's not getting enough from him in life. And he's at the point of his career and his life where he doesn't have to be working as hard as he is in terms of like having more time for her. I know he's a doctor, but he's also in his, like, I want to say late 50s. So he can make his hours a little bit more. I mean, I don't know anything about the profession, but if Tiffany's making her hours.
I don't know anything about the profession.
No, I don't know a thing about doctoring, but it does seem like when you're older, you're not like on rounds in the hospital, you know, having to like work your way up and work crazy hours. Not that you're not on call, but I think you can have days off and stuff.
I don't know. I feel like Dolores is kind of in love with Frank still, but that he hurt her. So she's not willing to like go to him in like a romantic way. I don't know. It's really it really is. I did love what Jen said, even if it's not true. I liked what Jen said about like, it's funny that Dolores keeps telling Teresa like what her value is in like finding a man, and she can't see that for herself. I was like, Jen, first it Shakespeare.
And now this. And it was really genuine the way Jen said it.
Yeah.
Like she really wants that for Dolores. And I've always said, I think Dolores is a great person. And for whatever fucking reason, she has gotten behind Teresa. Like Dolores is the kind of friend you want in your corner. Yes. Let me tell you. The way she defends this dum-dum is just...
The nasty dum-dum. And granted, like, you're like, yeah, Teresa's been through a lot. But also, Teresa's not a total victim. Teresa was part of what happened to her. You know what I mean? And so I'm not saying she deserved everything that happened to her, like her parents and, you know, and having a terrible husband. But I also don't think she's totally innocent in it. And so let's not take her out of the Dolores sort of takes her out of the formula of what she's done a little bit, giving, having no accountability. But I love Dolores, and I liked spending time with her family this week.
Her daughter.
Her daughter. It was so funny. They sort of switched roles. Like when Dolores was like, we're going to the beach with the guys and the girls. And her daughter was like, you can't wear that. Like, it was just so funny.
Well, that is all the housewives. I feel like in order to be cast, you have to have a kind of misidentification with your daughter, where the daughter is the mom. Like, that to me is the first question they ask. Like, does your daughter parent you? You're cast.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It's a prerequisite.
Sure. On the way to the shore, I just felt so happy to be in the car with Frank driving. I felt protected. Here he is driving Dolores up front. Again, his ex-wife, who he earlier said he wanted to bend over the counter. Mm. And then to see in the backseat Teresa and Jen, and Teresa's blank look on her fucking face. Well, she can't move her face. So that's one strike against her. Just kind of, she's like, just a blank, frozen face the entire time.
but I've never identified more with Teresa than when she opened the car door and we saw stuffed in the side door a Dunkin' Donuts iced coffee that was white. The amount of half and half and milk she put in there, I was like, oh, that's Teresa's little indulgence. There's her treat, a white coffee. I love it.
I felt really at ease in this episode. Again, in the fact that we have not been away, we have not been out of our houses, I felt on vacation. Frank yes. is watching The Sauce. You know,
yes.
Frank is watching him. The Sauce.
She'll Frank kill him if he burns
the
it.
Sauce. I don't want that sauce burned.
We're getting ready. Frank, come in and watch ready. The sauce.
Everybody's in the pool. Like, what the shore. Like, I just felt so happy.
Didn't you feel good pulling up to Melissa and Joe's house? And she's like, oh, I felt the energy's good there. I just felt like I like being here in their
me
home.
Too, me yes. too. I'm at the shore and I've never been happier to be at the shore. We're eating pasta. We're eating chicken cutlets. Like with
it made me so hungry. The way that they are also good at cooking,
yes,
is like so comforting, and I love it. It's like they just know what to do.
I like having so much food,
so much food, and not a recipe in sight because they know what they're doing.
Yeah,
they know from the old country, the sausage and peppers. They know what to make.
You know who I felt sad for? I related to. Like this is where I felt my Judaism.
Oh.
And my
percolating.
It was Jackie at the table and they're like, she's gonna cry again.
Oh my God. That was so funny. And she's like, I'm fine. I'm really fine. And they're like, she's crying.
And I don't know if it was just who I am as a person, but just like all these Italians basically being like, she's weak. She's
gonna look, as an Italian, I felt the opposite.
Like her. Like just they just sort of like made her feel so
guys I don't love Jackie
look it, well again because they're not that we should love Jackie but they're making her look like
nothing to do with her religious beliefs.
No, I don't take it as that, but it's just that they're all just like she's gonna fall apart.
What I just wish Jackie would do is like I do feel like a lot of the women are on her side, and I wish she would not like the thing she said about jail to
Teresa. Oh, it's like, so stupid.
It's just like, just everyone is like rooting for you. So like you're in the right here. So like, don't say something that then makes people be like, oh, that was a shitty thing to say. You
but
know?
Also you can tell she had it in her back pocket. Like it was just, and it was so first thought to me. It's like, well, you've been to jail. It's like, yeah, no fucking duh.
I kind of appreciated when Teresa was like, yeah, I have. Like, yeah. That's a fact of my life that we all know incredibly well.
But Teresa's you know, also though, what annoyed me was Teresa's stupid stuff. And yes, Teresa's such a dum-dum that it was probably the smartest thing that she's ever done. But like her just being like, I got something planned. And then to give them all these dildos, like it was so like,
and then be like, shove this up your ass,
this up
Jackie.
It's like, oh God, it felt so sweaty to me. I was like,
it felt
so
sweaty. Like she'd been planning to say it for so long. And it was kind of, and also like Jackie's reaction was like, good for Jackie, like very small. Like she was like, okay.
Okay.
But she can't, like, I got something planned for tonight. We knew it the whole episode. I got something planned. And it's like, what's Teresa going to do? And then she comes out with these beautiful bags. And then she's like, but because when you're working on something so long, it doesn't come out like well, she was like, shove it up your ass.
I feel like I've been hearing some titterings. You know how naive I am. Like, when Jackie's like, Evan didn't cheat, I'm like, he didn't. Jackie told us that. But I've been hearing some titterings that others think he absolutely did. What do you think, Vanessa?
Well, I thought it was interesting that when they were saying that Marge's Joe was saying that, like, he heard it in town. I think what he said
in
to
town.
The guys on boys' night was that he heard it in his house, right? So it's like he heard it in his house because all those women were talking about it, same women. In his house. I don't believe he ever said he heard it in town. I believe he said, I heard it. And then in his testimonial, he said, I hear everything because of everyone comes to my house.
I felt wrong. Like that was him trying to clean up his mess later, that he was kind of being like, I have heard this a little, but also being like, I don't think it's true, but I've heard it. I don't know. Joe Beningo or whatever the hell his name was, is. I thought he fucked up, and Marge's horror and was like, what did you say? It was almost like a mom would scream at her kid, a son, if he had done something inappropriate. It did make me laugh. I don't know, Vanessa. I could be wrong.
Yeah, that's a good point, though.
I don't know. I felt like someone's
heard was
something
in his testimonial trying to.
But I love Marge being like, if he didn't hear it anyway, I hear it in town. Like, she's the eyes and the ears of the town.
town what Franklin town?
Lakes. I think Franklin Lakes. Is that Franklin what the town Lakes is? Oh, but you guys, the saddest moment. I miss Nono. I started crying when they had Nono on and he cooking and the and then he couldn't walk. Like, I was in tears.
Yeah. That was very sad.
Very sad. Well, should we move on to Dallas? Should we take a break and go to Dallas?
Yeah. Right.
Let's go on down south.
We're back in Dallas. Now, Deandra trying constantly misnaming Tiffany's children. I was like, stop trying, Deandra. Like, she just kept going.
Look,
for
twins
it
are hard. I have some gals playing my twins on a show. I haven't even tried, though.
But that's what I mean. Stop trying.
Right.
Stop trying. Like, it's just that she keeps doing it to them. She's like, you're this and you're that. And they're like, no, you're this and you're that. It's like, just stop. Just stop.
Leave it alone.
Leave it.
Let
just
it go.
Cuties.
Cuties.
Girls.
Little sweeties. Yeah.
Little sweeties. Yeah. Like, darlings. Just stop.
Guys, I was so proud of Tiff this week. Yeah. Cameron said it so condescendingly, but the spirit was right when she was like, Tiff takes a note. Like, she knows how to pull a party together now, and she took her feedback.
She pulled a great party together. That I wanted to be at that luau.
Yes, really? She was like, enough. I fucked up on multiple parties now with pizzas and rolls, and I thought she threw a gorgeous, fun, elevated party. And I feel like Tiff, it has an easy breezier side. It just hasn't come to bear yet. And I just felt she was fun. She looked beautiful. Like, she got her day off. I'm so happy. And I genuinely cried when Tiff's mom was like, no, you deserve a day off.
Oh,
yes. That was so, what a nice interaction they had. I also was, you know, I'm a little surprised by how comfortable she is. Her mom maybe doesn't watch the show because she keeps saying, like, my mom only comes to me when she needs something.
Yeah, that's a tough.
It's a tough thing to keep saying about your mom on a television show. But then I was like, maybe her mom has like no interest in watching. I don't know.
I mean, I will say, because it's so honest and that's what we need in our housewives is
yes,
complete honesty. But I also feel like, ooh, like if that's, yeah.
Yeah.
Although I do feel appreciative, like, she's telling that story of immigrant parents who, you know, it seems like such a, obviously I don't know, but a very complex, heart-wrenching story of like, her mom, the push-pull of her parents wanting her to succeed so badly with love behind it.
Sacrificing so
much. And the sacrifice.
Right.
Yes.
To give her a better life. And so you feel that. And she feels that pressure because it's like, my parents sacrificed everything so that I could have that. So it's her parents, but it's also, I think, Tiffany putting that pressure on herself, as we all do as children whose parents have, you know, given up anything to give them a better life. So it is her mom, I'm sure, but it's also Tiffany saying, like, they gave up everything and now I owe them this.
Yeah.
Which is tough. I get that feeling.
Yeah. I love her. I love Tiffany. And I love that they own so many hotels. Like, then I'm like, this is where the money's coming from. They own a bunch of hotels and they have good jobs. Like, it just all makes sense to me. And it is very like, I
it
love
all
seeing
makes
their
sense
house.
Right, because so many housewife stories don't make sense.
Yeah, we don't know where, like, their money's coming from.
Right, we're like, no, we can't add this up. We're no longer doing the math, even.
Even when, like, Mary Cosby's like, we own all these houses. You're like, what? Tiffany, I don't know how they got, but they have these hotels and they're so rich and they have such a nice house and closet.
And closet! And wine cellar.
Yes.
You're like, was this all the church's money? Like, where?
Yes.
Like, that's where you're like, how can all these people be paying for all these? Like, it's shot, you know, it's like.
I just want it to make sense.
I'd like a running tab in the bottom screen of just like bank account as it's going up and down, just fluctuating.
Yeah.
You know, like when we're on a woman's story, just like, where are we at?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want more Cam and I need more Cam.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
When Cam said, ooh, I haven't looked at an electricity bill, girl. Oh, that was tough.
She doesn't know any, like, all I do is know my bills. Like, just like, to not know, to have never seen an elect,
It is. It does feel, yeah,
tough. But this is why I also love court. I think because I do so much of that stuff in my household, I do feel a kind of like, oh, to be taken care of that way. I know it's fucking backwards. I know it. Okay. I know it. But I would be lying if I didn't say there's something comforting about watching Frank drive him to the shore house, watching court be like, I got this. Even though, again, it seems he has no faith in his wife's abilities or,
yes, you know,
yes, I get all that.
There's a part of us all that wants to be a child again, you know?
And I think men want that too. They want a woman to take care of them. And it's like, I'm like, who's taking care of me?
Yeah. Now, I have a question about Cam's dress.
Which one?
I don't know if you guys remember.
You don't say yes to it?
This was, I thought she looked great, but it was unclear whether she had like a white corset on under. It seems like you guys are not responding to this.
No, I'm but right
like,
there.
Was she just trying to cover up more, or did the dress have that white? Like, I thought she looked so great from the front. And then there was like this big corset in the back that seemed like she had put on maybe to cover up more. I couldn't quite tell what was going on with it.
A lot of her outfits are hard to wrap your head around.
Yeah.
Like at first glance, they're one thing. And then at second glance, I agree. I was kind of wondering what's going on there.
I couldn't quite
figure
it out. She
doesn't have great fashion sense. I mean, that's never been one of her best
qualities. Yeah.
No, she's just desperately trying to Elle Woods things.
Right.
Her little white tennis shoes.
I'd like to bring up Deandra again real quick when she
says, your fascination with Deandra does not end. Indeed.
Never ends. She says she has really tried to control her emotions this season, which I would say it's quite the opposite. Like her trying, I feel like, is bringing out the worst. Like all we've seen is screaming, crying, running. So under the care of this shaman, I'm not saying, like, we all have our religions healers. And so I don't blame it. It can be anything you want, but I don't, maybe this hairstylist slash healer is not doing the best for her.
You know, sometimes healing brings up a lot. But I do think when she sat down with Dee just has no ability. It's like, yeah, Deandra may have said that. She probably did say, I'm changing my name to Simmons to get further. Fine.
For sure.
But what Dee doesn't understand is the impact it has to repeat that as a mother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, but it's true.
But I think she does understand the impact and is trying to humiliate her daughter.
Right, right.
Couple questions about the story she told two episodes ago where she was like,
please.
I looked out for this man, Simmons.
Yeah. I followed him and they didn't have the internet back then. So she really had to track him.
But she was not, that's not Deandra's dad. So she was.
Stepdad.
So she was married or she was divorced. And when was she looking, at what stage in her previous marriage was she in when she was looking for Glenn Simmons, when she was like, I'm going to marry that man? Was she was married to someone else and she was like, I'm going to marry.
I got the sense she was divorced from Deandra's dad, but I have no idea.
We don't know that.
Okay. But my point is just like, I think maybe to Dee, the idea that like Simmons can take you further is like smart.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I also feel like if Deandra just said like, yeah, I wanted to be like taken more seriously. So I like use that as my last name. Like
when I was young.
Yeah.
Who now can't? You're right, because Dee is like, oh, I said the same thing. It's just both the way Dee said it was like, make Deandra look so terrible. But you're right. Dee had basically said not one scene earlier, like, yeah, I did that, too.
She could have said, I learned it from you, Mom. I learned it from you. And that would have been the correct response. But she didn't.
Yeah. But yeah. So I don't know. The other thing I thought was so funny about Deandra in that scene is like, she's talking about her brother and she's like, I feel like if I hadn't changed my last name, that he would, you know, maybe things would be different. And it's like, no, you took all of his estate money. That's what he's mad about. He doesn't care about your last name.
And I didn't piece that together because that's pretty rotten, which is.
I love rotten. That's a rotten. Driver.
She is rotten to the core.
It's pretty rotten to say, I am you, my father, you didn't take care of me. You didn't love me. Fuck you. I'm going to get ahead. And I'm going to literally abandon your name, throw out the name that I was given by you, take my new father, my new rich daddy's name, right? Then when it's time for the money to be divvied up, to take your brother money, not give him anything. Yeah, fuck you, Deandra.
Yeah.
Well, and then she was taking them to court because she didn't feel her dad had left her enough, essentially. And it's like, could this trace back to the name?
She is awful.
I don't know. It's all very... Now, here's a storyline I could do without. Carrie and her daughters.
Oh.
The way that it's so crazy. I was taking notes on it and I wrote next to it, boring.
Yes. Boring.
It just boring. Also, it's so like, Carrie, where have you been? Like all of a sudden she's figuring out that she needs to like talk to them about her divorce. It's like, it's so transparent to me that she just wants to look like she's like a good mom. And they've been your daughters for a long time. You've been divorced for a long time. This is when you choose to finally talk to them about it.
Yep. I feel like in the car on the way over, she was like, guys, you gotta just forgive me here. This is what's gonna happen. Like, she was just like, sorry, I never talked to you guys. And they're crying and they're like 30 and they're like, thanks, mom. And then she's like, all I wanna be thought of is a great mom. Carrie's so fucking full of it, in my opinion. Yes.
Carrie, I agree.
Fucking full of it and full of issues, etc.
But she's a good time. She's a good time gal.
But I don't find her fun. Mm. I don't know. I find her almost like bullying.
Yes. When she's chasing Tiffany with like pole that can catch on fire. It was just like, just put it down. Yeah.
She tortures Tiffany, you guys. She's constantly throwing her in water, chasing. Like she.
How about, I've never seen such shade thrown truly in a subtle way. Like maybe you guys don't even think it was shade. But when she was like, Tiffany was so nice. She gave me a basket of hot sauce to thank me for the party I gave her. Does a bunch of different hot sauces, and I love that. That was a mistake for Tiffany's part.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Last thing, can we just talk about the trip we took to wherever the hell we went on that private jet to see the lockers that Stephanie had built at disadvantaged high school?
Look, I have to say that the first high school lockers looked like my high school lockers. So maybe it had been destroyed, but their destroyed locker room looked like the locker room I grew up with. So...
Look, there's small causes and there's big causes. And Stephanie seems to have set her sights on smaller cause. And great.
And I will say that the locker rooms that they got were amazing. Or like amazing.
That the guys got. The women's weren't.
Vanessa.
Again, just like the trouble in the NCAA right now, the women's locker room is not up to par.
I don't know if you also thought this, but when I heard she's redoing their lockers, I thought like book, like their book locker, like their...
the lockers in the school.
Yeah, like for their books and so that they can learn.
I think it's a sports locker.
It's a sports locker room, which I thought...
I feel like that makes Travis proud.
Yeah, like he doesn't care about books and learning.
Yeah.
And you could tell she was so disappointed there wasn't like the big reveal with like a marching band in the whole school. She's like, because of COVID, we just, you know, a couple guys came out. And that one guy, when he's like, this means more than you know. And I know she was like, please cry. And he just couldn't get it up. He was like, so thank you guys. Thank you. And she was wearing that shield that kind of looked like an old, what do you call it? Kind of nautical, but yes. Gold buttons on it.
Yes, yeah, like a captain's, like a yacht captain.
A majorette.
Yeah. Yes.
And Brandy was like, these lockers are beautiful. I hate Brandy.
I hate.
By the way, and is that other woman, Jen, just like Brandy? Like, why is...
I don't know. She was a friend of that didn't make it. And that's always hard because you can't cut around. You just couldn't cut around.
I guess you can't cut around. Because at least I was just thinking about like, she's at the same level of things as the woman whose name I can't think of on New York, who is like Ramona's friend.
Yes, Elise.
Elise. But like Elise had like a storyline kind of like she... Like Jen has not... Yeah.
What happened was Jen was a new cast member with Tiffany. They had added both of them. Then Jen went through a terrible divorce. And part of their kind of divorce was that Jen could not air. I think if she wanted to keep her kids, something dark happened and they were pissed. Ugh. Is what I read. And they had to fully cut around her. Although apparently she allowed and her ex-husband allowed her to say on camera that she wanted to snip her labia and make it short.
Yes, we did hear that.
I was like, okay, she gave us that. But that's
it. That. I didn't know that was a possibility, which was curtain trim.
Can you imagine going under for that?
We've been through enough with our vaginas. Do we need any
of a curtain trim? Also just was like, now I do feel bad. That makes sense that she was like going through something and that's why they can't. But like, that's the one thing that they air.
Right. But please iron that out before you get here.
Yeah.
iron that out.
And iron those curtains too.
And if that's because that's the only detail we've gotten about her. And that's hard.
That's for all that to I know
the
about
one
her.
Thing that America knows about you.
Very tough detail to have come to the surface. You know, that really turned my stomach and it made me feel sad for her.
It made me feel sad for me.
Look, I'm 40. I'm going to be getting stuff done. You are guys very quickly going to see me online and be like, whoa, that's not what we remember her to look like. But wow, that seemed like that made me sad.
Yeah.
And made me like, bleh.
I don't want to get like.
Maim my genitals.
Yeah. I don't.
Of my own get, design. Yeah.
I don't want to taper my vet.
And she
vagina.
Said it like in a bunch of different ways. She was like. Trim the curtains, cut the girls. I don't know what she was like.
I was like, cut off the gobbler.
Yeah, it was like, ma'am?
Shave down the clitty sides. It was like,
it was like, that's all we get to hear
that's
about
all
her.
I know.
She's like, trim up those roast beef flaps. I'm like, oh, Jen.
I didn't even know her name. I just knew that her vagina needed trimming.
That it's dragging.
That it's dragging on the ground like a jellyfish tail.
You're right. That was hard. Well, guys, Vanessa.
Is this how it ends?
This is how it ends.
And is this how it ended for Jen?
I think this is the right note.
I meant the podcast.
Oh, yeah. All of it.
Yeah. These are the notes we're able to strike. And for it to feel in harmony, this is how we can end a program.
Of course.
This isn't a sitcom, Vanessa. We don't have to wrap it up and learn a lesson.
No, we don't have to have a nice joke to go out on. We really
right,
just
right.
Again, we will sit in this.
We will sit in the uncomfortability.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Vanessa Bayer, thank you for your impressions and your beautiful thoughts. You brought us Domestic Cat.
Domestic.
On the bottom of the screen with Portia.
Oh, gosh.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thank you.
This was wonderful.
And everybody check her out in Barb and Star. She's so funny. The movie's so funny. It's so great.
So great. And thank you to our producer, Renee. Thank you to Caitlin, our editor. Thank you, Kim Cooper. Thank you to Earwolf. Thank you, Danielle.
Yeah.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody.